2013 sitting of Aurora Grande Planning Commission meeting. May we have roll call, please, Debbie?
Commissioner King?
Here.
Commissioner Martin?
Here.
Commissioner Sparrow?
Here.
Chair Ruth?
Here.
And Barnidge is absent.
All right. Please join Commissioner Sparrow in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll move on to community comments and suggestions. This is a time for anyone in the audience to speak on a matter that is within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission but not on our agenda tonight. Is there anyone that would like to speak? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to written communications, and I show that we don't have anything that came to us after the agenda preparation. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right, consent agenda, approval of minutes. And we are here to approve the minutes of the December 18th, 2012 meeting. Does anyone have any questions, corrections, deletions?
I just have a typo correction. McDonald's end. It says panned. It should just be planned sign program. It's just missing the L.
Add an L. Do you see that, Debbie? First page?
Page.
Near the bottom, third line from the
third
bottom.
Third line up from the bottom, kind of in the middle. That was all I saw.
And then I had another one. I think it is a typo. I just want to make sure. It's on page 2. It is the big paragraph right before action, starting the commission provided the following comments. And the 1, 2. I think, or an add-on shed. Is that what that's supposed to be? So I think we need to add an N, because it says, or an add-on shed. Anything else? Okay, then I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes as corrected.
I'll move to approve the minutes as corrected.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Sparrow?
Yes.
Commissioner King?
Yes.
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Items. Item A is continued study session, regional greenhouse gas emissions reduction plan. Staff report, please.
Yes, thank you, Chair Ruth. At the last Planning Commission meeting, Shauna Collery from Rincon Consultants was here to help us walk through the greenhouse gas emissions reduction toolbox. This toolbox is a spreadsheet that allows us to evaluate and select emission reduction measures to ultimately include in our climate action plan. The purpose of tonight's study session is to evaluate the relative costs and benefits of these measures and to make recommendations and made preliminary recommendations based on cost, staff time, consistency with the general plan, feasibility, appropriateness, ease of implementation, and amount of emissions reduced. Based on our adjusted greenhouse gas emissions inventory, the city needs to reduce its emissions by 4,462 metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalent in order to reach the target of 15% below 2005 emission levels as outlined in AB 32. Before we get started on the evaluate the cost and benefits. Each measure in the toolbox includes the GHG reduction potential, estimated costs and savings, co-benefits, case studies, implementation details, calculation assumptions, detailed calculation methodology and equations, notes and references. Staff went through and adjusted the values on some of the individual measure worksheets to better reflect what we thought was realistic and reasonable. For example, that this might be for the estimated full-time staff equivalent, number of participating households or businesses, or whatever value that looked like. Any opportunity for the public to provide comments beyond tonight's study session. There will be at least one public hearing scheduled for the Planning Commission and City Council on the Climate Action Plan, which will likely take place in June or July of this year. In the meanwhile, anyone can submit written comments at any time between now and then. All comments will be included in the Planning Commission and City Council agenda packets. So with that, I guess I would ask if you wanted to open it up to public comment now before I go through the individual measures.
Sir, do you have anything you'd like to speak on now? Okay. Okay, we'll give you another opportunity then. Okay. But right, thanks for being here.
Okay, so I don't know if you had a chance to go through these, but I thought we would walk through each one individually. If I take too much time on this and you think that you already, you know, if I'm redundant or if it just is too much and you want to go quicker, just let me know, okay? It's my first time going through it like this, so. So the first measure, well, I should start out by saying, again, there's 36 measures. And water, solid waste, and trees and open space. Okay, so we're starting off with energy, and the first one is 4A, Energy Efficiency Outreach and Incentive Programs. So this is a voluntary program. The description, expand participation in and the promotion of existing programs such as Energy Upgrade California and San Luis Obispo County Energy Watch to increase community awareness of existing energy efficiency rebates and financial incentives. We are proposing that we include this one. The amount of emissions is 100. And we estimate that it's a 0.03 staff equivalent full-time. Notes here, when we were going through, when staff was going through, we changed the household participation from 35% to 25%, business participation from 40 to 30%, and then we changed that full-time equivalent from 0.05 to 0.03. We're being more conservative, in other words. Do you want to talk about each one as we go along, or do you want me to?
Maybe we can, you know, stop you as you go through it.
Okay. So, do I have a? Is this measure something that we want to do?
Oh, okay. Doesn't hurt, right?
Yeah, the cost is considered very low, and I think it expands on things that are already happening in the county. So that's why we thought that we would reduce the amount of staff time, because we're kind of piggybacking on what's already going on. So
it's just awareness and
publicity, that's
for those things that already are in existence, not us offering rebates or anything.
Right. So this is Energy Audit and Retrofit Program. Collaborate, this is again working with the county existing programs. Collaborate with the San Luis Obispo County Energy Watch, local utility providers, local businesses, and organizations to develop and promote a residential and commercial educational energy audit program with direct installation. Again, this is more of a direct implementation program. And we reduced the full-time equivalent from 0.1 to 0.05 because of that connection with the county, kind of, again, um, emission reduction, 1,310, and the cost is considered to be very low. So kind of thinking that's a good one.
Examples of measures, you know, of
well, the Energy Watch, they will actually go and do audits for people's homes and businesses and determine where there are inefficiencies and recommend where they can make improvements. And in some cases, utility providers can offer rebates on some of the actual physical modifications, those kinds of things.
I actually got to witness one of these energy thing interacted together in the house. Mm-hmm. Also looking at safety, especially if there was any kind of CO2 that was being drawn back into the house. And it seems like a really good thing to do for your house, just to make what you have more efficient. It doesn't necessarily mean buying new things, not even buying new windows, but just making the whole system work together better.
Right. It saves you money, and it also can make your inside air cleaner. So I'd say that would be a yes then.
Does that mean that 0.03?
It's taking the amount of time that a full-time person would spend within a full year. So this is, for instance, 0.05 of a person, full-time staff person.
So the full-time staff person is about, you know, this is very rough, 2,000 hours a year. Mm-hmm. It's 2,000 times 0.05, mm-hmm. that many hours a year they think it would take.
And I would just add that there was calculations built apply to bigger cities, for example. And even so, these numbers are, I would say, still pretty generic and duplicative of each other. So we keep saying 0.03, 0.05. You know, but a lot of the work for 4A and 4B is the same, and it would be contacting the county and working with county staff and making sure we have those materials available, for example. So I wouldn't say that all of these percentages are additive necessarily.
Weatherization programs, and the explanation is facilitate energy efficient weatherization of low and middle income housing through promotion of existing programs such as community action partnerships, which is CAPSLO. Let's see, this one for information, it's voluntary, it gets 126 metric tons reduction, it's considered very low, and 0.05 equivalent of staff. We increased the units from 50 to 100. On moderate income. So that was the only change that we did. And the cost is considered very low. So is that a yes? Questions, comments? Oh, okay, good. Moving along. 4D, Energy Conservation Ordinance. This is our first mandatory one. Require through a city ordinance that cost-effective energy efficiency upgrades in existing buildings be implemented at point of sale or during major renovation. So we already do something similar at point of sale for water efficiency retrofits. So we know that we get about 125 of these a year, just for your information. The metric tonnage is 512. It's considered a low-cost program, and the staff is 0.15.
I'm just curious, it says during a major renovation, what, do we have a definition of what is a major renovation?
I think all of that.
I think it sounds like a good idea. I'm just didn't know, you know, is it they're just putting on another, you know, bathroom or room or something, or is it we're talking about they're doubling their size?
I think that would have to be fair and reasonable.
Okay.
Right? Okay. Can you give me examples of things that might be required to be changed in to make it, you know, energy efficiency upgrades?
I think it would be similar to like what that energy audit and retrofit program was talking about.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like changing their furnace or weather stripping or.
From this list, so there would be some flexibility. I don't know. There's examples out there that we'd be able to pull from.
So tagging on with Lisa, I think my comment on it is it just seems a little vague in terms of, and it's when we start saying this is mandatory and then it's going to be ironed out in the ordinance. So, I mean, it seems like a okay thing to do, but yet it's not really, it's pretty vague. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means. Like, if it's... have to do, you can be required to do a certain percentage, kind of on that line. Mm-hmm. So kind of with Lisa, I mean, it seems okay, but yet it's vague, so.
Yeah, they do have several, or two, I should say, two case studies that they refer to look at. But, yeah, I mean, it's vague on purpose so that we can iron it out in the future, but I see what you're saying.
So are you looking for us to say, yeah, we're okay? Okay with a lot of concepts, but it's really in the details, you know, uh-huh. How it turns out to be. So, I mean, just overall, you know, it seems like there were good choices. They make sense, the things that didn't make sense. But it's most of it's in the details, like, what does that mean?
I can't imagine that we would be, you know, overburdensome with something like this. That wouldn't, you know, it just right. Would be in our best interest. But it by doing this, it also provides awareness. And maybe this can send them right to the county for their programs, something like that.
And you would tie it into home sales as well as renovations, and that's what you do with the...
With the toilet retrofit, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think there's going to be more problem with doing the sales rather than the mm-hmm. remodels. I think the remodels are going to be a lot easier to established and trying to make mandatory when you talked about the toilet refit, the water saving and everything, that's going to be a lot of that credited in the water conservation, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we're not recommending that we do the water one though. Because we already have that program of water retrofit. We have a lot of water conservation programs in place, but you know we'll get to that one. But
we want to use our already established things to offset something.
Well, we'll wait till we get there, I guess. But
I like the idea of this, but the details.
With any ordinance. It has to go to the Planning Commission and the City Council, so it has plenty of opportunity to have public comment and, you know, deliberations.
So if we approve the concept today, and then some point in the future you'll come back with the actual ordinance that will give these specifications, and at that point we can say this is too high or too low.
And as it's been mentioned before, you know, the voluntary measures are always an easier pill to swallow, mm-hmm. you know, but you don't know what you're going to get, how much reduction you're going to get. Mandatory, of course, you're more, you can expect it a little bit more.
In favor of exploring that idea.
I am too. I just want to know the specifics.
Okay.
Make sure it's not onerous.
So, and we would pass this on with the recommendation that note that mm-hmm. you know, there's concerns expressed with that measure.
Yeah. And I do like the menu idea that you talked about.
Right.
You know, making it a certain amount of energy efficient, and you can pick which items you do that make it achieve that.
Yeah, I mean, every home has its own personality and needs, you know, so opportunities. Energy efficiency standards. So provide incentives, that would be like priority permitting, reduce permit fees for new development and or major remodels that voluntarily exceed state energy efficiency standards by an identified percentage. So this is a voluntary measure. It gets a 76 reduction in tonnage, considered very low, and we changed the staff from 0.05 to 0.03. We changed the targeted estimated number of residential businesses, because that just seemed practical. So again, it's voluntary. It's not.
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm fine. Okay.
Just real quick on that, Kelly. Even though that's a voluntary measure, what happens there is that it's hard for me to read that screen, but. It says reduce by a certain percentage, right? I can't. So
we could implement this via ordinance. We're not sure of the implementation tool. If it's a fee waiver, we would have to bring it forward to allow for that. And it would be something that, you know, once plan checks complete or something, we know the value of the increased efficiency, then we could reimburse a certain amount of fees. That's sort of the way it probably would work.
Well, people that wanted to take advantage of this would be happy to supply those numbers for you. I mean, they're going to know.
Right. And then the other part. Way we could implement that. And it could probably be either or.
Some of that would be figured out ahead of time, because if you're coming in with a project and you want to exceed 10 of 24 by whatever percent and this amount of fees back or this amount of extra. So it's worked out somehow before.
It would have to be worked out before, okay. Absolutely, because right now I don't have any means to waive any fees or for any you know purpose like this. I would just give them a thumbs up and say, great job.
Okay. Development utilize high efficiency lights in parking lots, streets, and other public areas.
Kelly, what number is that?
This is 4F. So this is a mandatory measure. What can I say? We changed the estimate of 50 streetlights to 100, changed 12 signals to zero, changed 400 other outdoor lights from 400 to 200, and modified
box. check.
Oh, that's a typo, sorry.
It is mandatory. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, because it's an ordinance. And it gets you eight tons, but it is very low cost. I don't think it's that big of a deal if you're going to be putting in lights to put in high efficiency lights. But we have been requiring it anyway. It's already mandatory in here. I just had it wrong in the table.
Okay, but when you say it's better mandatory than voluntary, you're just saying because you have a more prescribed outcome?
Yes.
Okay, so the numbers don't change. You don't get more credit.
No. I mean, everything is built in to these cells. There are certain ones that we can manipulate, such as the ones that I've been talking about.
So you adjust the expected numbers.
Since they had 50 streetlights, we thought there would be more, so we did. We changed that to 100. Traffic signals, we don't anticipate any to be. Be installed for private. This is for private. I don't even know why they have traffic signals in there. In some jurisdictions, maybe they do. But and then they had 400 other outdoor lights, and we thought that was overkill, and we changed that to 200. And we changed the 0.05 to 0.01. So this is where we made
reduction, a metric ton reduction is built into the formula. So
yeah.
If we start monkeying with them, some of the numbers, and take off some, you know, each measure has maybe, you know, a list of sub-measures. And if we start taking some of those off, saying, no, we're not going to do those three, but we're going to do the main one that allows us to capture points for that overall measure, then the metric tons will adjust by virtue of the formulas inputted into the program.
But we are not allowed to change whether it's voluntary or mandatory. No.
That's just the nature of
the program, of the measure.
Got it.
So, for example, the earlier ones at energy outreach, you know, people can choose whether they're going to look at the materials and, you know, be educated. The mandatory one for the energy conservation ordinance, if we go forward with that, would be mandatory in that should we pass an ordinance, then it would be mandatory for folks to do the energy conservation work at the point of sale or the remodel. So that's sort of the nature of the difference between the mandatory and
moving right along. 4G. This one is Small Solar Photovoltaic Incentive Program. The name, word incentive, we know that it's voluntary. Facilitate the voluntary installation of small solar PV systems and solar hot water heaters in the community through expanded promotion of existing financial incentives, rebates, and financing programs, and by helping the average resident and business overcome common regulatory barriers and upfront capital costs. So, considered very low, and 0.05 staff person, and everything in this measure seemed reasonable. We didn't change anything.
We're not financing incentives. You're coming up with incentives. We're just informing people about
incentives.
Because that last, and by helping the average resident and business overcome common regulatory barriers and upfront capital costs. helping them.
So it's the promotion. Through that, it helps them to overcome that burden of you know, putting in the solar panels on their roof.
I'd be curious what that is, you know, because...
Well, we put solar panels on our house mm-hmm. a number of years ago, and we got a good rebate for it.
I don't. We didn't really have any hurdles to overcome, but I don't know.
It's kind of like telling you that I can help your kid get scholarships to college by telling you about how to get the scholarship.
Right. Well, upfront capital. You know, I was gonna. Overcome upfront capital costs. I mean, I get that's what you're saying. You're just finding other programs. It just
it's promoting existing programs.
And some of the programs being promoted may offset your initial capital cost for the installation. Sure. So whereas you weren't going to do it because it's too expensive, that barrier would be somewhat alleviated by a certain rebate program. And they're always out there and changing. So.
Okay. Installation of solar PV systems on and solar hot water heaters in income qualified housing units by promoting, you know, the California Solar Initiative and New Solar Homes Partnership. And collaborating with organizations such as Grid Alternatives on outreach and eligibility. Now, the city has already worked with Grid Alternatives, and that was for single-family residences. So we're already doing some of this, and this is for, they have their own definition of low and moderate income, but it seems like it would be a great idea if we could expand that to our multi-family existing units, because you get it all on one big, large roof. And so anyway, that would be my big goal. So this is voluntary. We get 139 metric tons. It's considered very low, and it would cost us 0.05 persons. Okay. We're not recommending that you go forward with this one, primarily because it just seems like there's not enough known about it, and it is a you need to get some regional buy-off, and let me explain what it is. It's a community choice aggregation program. The city would either individually or through a regional partnership develop a CCA program and ensure that the energy generation portfolio of the electricity supplied has a higher percentage of clean energy than that mandated by the state renewable portfolio standard. There's a lot of talk about this. I know they do it in Marin County. Tonnage reduction 804. Anyway, we thought it might be something we can sidestep this time, and we can always do any of these things later on. You know, that's the.
Ellen, what number is that?
That's a 4I.
Thank you.
But completely open to your ideas.
Town, is that what you were thinking? A little ambitious for our town and where we are right now.
To collaborate in the county to make it a worthwhile program. So it's kind of a wait and see in our eyes at this point.
Yeah, I could see why you had said no when I read it, and yeah. I agreed with that at this point. Does anyone else have anything?
Okay.
interesting. So 4J, municipal energy efficiency retrofits and upgrades. Establish a target to reduce municipal energy use by a certain percentage 2020 and implement cost varies, I guess. 0.2 of a staff person. Echoing. We thought this would be a good idea.
Again, this is something we've already inventoried our municipal buildings, and we've been working on this. So we're going to capture our work done on this.
Any comments or questions? Okay.
Yeah, we saw that something we
the first.
Okay. I couldn't find it.
That was 4J.
These are numbered different.
Are you looking? I'm sorry. You're looking at the community ones.
Mm-hmm.
The community ones do not match up.
Oh, okay.
They do not. Some of the ones that we have are not in there, and then the ones that we have are not in the same order.
It's best to follow it with the staff report attachment.
So far, they were both tracking together, but I guess not anymore.
Yeah. I should have mentioned that. Sorry. Lighting. So before we talked about private lighting, now we're talking about city's lighting. The city would continue to replace city-owned or operated street, traffic signal, park, and parking lot lights with higher efficiency lamp technologies. That's kind of a duh. We already do it. So, yeah. 4L. This one is mandatory energy efficiency requirements for new municipal buildings. So this would be something that the city would do on its for new construction or renovation of new buildings and facilities. So we have the police building and the public works building that really are only kind of out there in the future. We changed the square footage, therefore, from 50,000 to 25,000 based on the estimates for those two buildings. So this one has a high cost. It only gets 8 tons, and it's mandatory, and it's 0.08 staff person. We originally had said yes, but and we may do some of that, we may do it anyway, but I don't know, you only get, the cost is supposedly high, and you only get 8 metric tons. I don't know.
I think it would be good to set an example.
No, it's good to set an example, I know.
We're asking the public builders, if you're building new homes, to meet certain requirements, so it seems that the city should meet those as well. And from my reading of it, it's just a policy. So it,
true.
So maybe we could have a goal.
You're right.
Something. I think once again, it's a,
we're okay.
Well, and again, it's the, you can't really quantify what the costs are, because what's the percentage and what's the cost? I mean, I can't answer that because I don't know what the cost for that is. So
I ask the minimum title.
I'm sorry.
So quiet.
The minimum title 24 building energy efficiency standards, are they really, really tight?
We could put it as a goal, you know. I mean,
besides the percentage of
how far are you exceeding this?
Well, there's the tiers one and two of the green building code that we've never adopted. We are going to be looking at updating our building code this year. So, you know, it could be that it's just on its way anyway. We don't.
I do kind of feel like it's hard to expect or the private sector to do this when we don't want
bad.
To
yeah.
ourselves. So yeah. I think we should at least keep.
Okay, 4M, renewable energy systems on city property. The city would pursue municipally owned renewable energy generation facilities, and I think that's too big for us to take on. So
again, there may be some opportunities where we can do this. We're not sure of those enough to put a yes on this one at this time.
Yeah. Again, it doesn't tie our hands from doing things in the future, obviously. So, okay, transportation and land use, moving into a whole new section here. Adopted our bike plan, we're very proud of that, and as we do our CIP improvement projects, we always look to that to make sure that we're providing bike lanes and striping for it. So we're already doing this. We did change 6 miles to 2 miles and 0.1 staff person to 0.05. So this would be mandatory. We would get 140 tons. It's considered a low cost. So it's basically implementing what we said we would do. Does that sound all right? Expand the city's pedestrian network. We do that pretty much anyway. I think maybe this just gives us more of a, you know, impetus to maybe require it for discretionary projects to really make sure that there's pedestrian connectivity, that kind of thing.
We really need to look for a way to connect the two sides of the city across the freeway.
Oh, yes, I know.
It's such a huge barrier now, and I know my kids would have walked to school if there were a safe way to get underneath the freeway, and there just isn't. And it would have been the same because otherwise none of this does any good, you know, as far as walking and biking. So anyway, I just wanted to say that.
They talked about that with the bike plan, right? Putting some kind of pedestrian.
Oh, I love that idea, yeah.
Yeah, what are they calling it, wings or something? A little bit more lower cost.
The big bridge got axed. There are measures in the plan that are, you know, that do set that as a goal. So,
fortunately, we have to deal with Caltrans. But so we changed 5 miles to 4 miles as far as our goal, and 0.2 staff to 0.0. This one is expand transit network. I work with the Regional Transit Authority and transit service providers to expand the local transit network, meaning additional routes or stops and or expanded hours of operation based on the greatest demand for service. So this is mandatory for us to work with them. It gets us 30 tons, considered very low, 0.02 staff person. We didn't change anything. We already work with RTA, but this kind of basically adds more emphasis to that relationship, I guess.
And Lispo in the evening hours, so we do evening activities, and I would second that. I would like to be able to send my daughter who goes to work to San Luis Obispo on the bus and be able to come home, but it just doesn't come back late enough. And we're not even talking late. It just cuts off too early. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a good idea.
Good idea, yeah. Okay. Five D is increased transit service frequency and speed. And again, this is working with the RTA to just do that, increase. Yes. Moving along. So the next one is mandatory measure. It's employer-based transportation demand management program. We said no for this one because it's basically requiring that employers of 25 or more develop a TDM program that provides encouragement, incentives, and support for employees to reduce their single occupancy vehicle trips. Some examples of resources and incentives include telecommuting, alternative much of a burden to place businesses, and unfortunately we're kind of set up we're not a compact county, so is there anybody that would like to see it implemented?
How many companies do we have with 25 or more employees?
Well, it's going to be our bigger ones, obviously. Yeah, the hospital, the school, the Walmart, Kmart.
I noticed, so the next one, right?
No to the mandatory. Is that?
I agree with that. I said if you try to carpool here, you'd spend more time going around picking people up than you would if they just went to the place. I think that's too big a load to put on employers around here, given how we're set up.
So we're trying to be business friendly. Yeah. Okay. Well, then let's see. Moving on to 5G, which is parking supply management. Amend the municipal code to reduce parking requirements in areas such as the downtown, where a variety of uses and services are planned. Credit for that. Again, this is mandatory. It gets 97 tons. It's considered very low, and it's 0.05 staff person.
How does that really work? I'm not really understanding that. By restricting the supply, you make people want to carpool or something?
That would be my reading of it.
Because we don't really do that. So, I mean, we're getting this nice credit, but mm-hmm. I don't see how that's really going to actually
I think it's just the impracticality. Trying to get people to rely so much on the vehicle that we pretty much
We have our mixed use reductions, parking reductions, so we do implement that.
Kind of process,
we also have some availability of allowing off-site parking, off-site, off-street parking, if it's within, I think it's 300 feet of the use. So we do have some of those mechanisms that we have as tools available to as projects go through, and I would foresee us continuing to use those tools and maybe
this is my question in our context, how is that reducing carbon emissions? I mean, we're trying to be more efficient with our parking so we don't have just huge parking lots everywhere. But really, how is it actually reducing carbon emissions?
Well, they have their calculations in here that it's supposed to get us a savings of 97 metric tons. And, you know, there's so many assumptions they have to do. Trying to estimate these things is a very difficult process.
What they're assuming is
and walk to do all the things that you need to do instead of...
That was that whole service node thing. That's not the same kind of...
There's a little bit of overlap, and they do say that there's overlap in a lot of these measures.
That makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
It makes more sense in this downtown. We would give a parking reduction in the village. There's other grouped parking where, just like Kelly said, you would instead of requiring every business to have a certain per square footage, it might be reduced because they're going to share parking and they're going to go hopefully do 3 or 4 stops and not stop drive to each one.
Okay.
So mm-hmm.
That makes sense. But meanwhile, we're driving from one side to the next. So
right, that's already there. That's, yeah, and it's,
I guess that's the kind of thing that you want to look at here.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So we wanted to include it to get the credit for it because we were already pretty much doing it.
Okay.
So the next one, this is 5H, public parking pricing, parking meters. We said no. We didn't think that we had any plans for parking meters now or in the near future. So are you okay with that?
That. I was very happy to see you said no.
5 Air Pollution Control District, Central Coast Clean Cities Coalition, and neighboring jurisdictions to create and implement the electric vehicle readiness plan. That's been underway for quite a while now. The city would continue to pursue funding for plug-in electric vehicle charging stations. This gets a lot. This gets 1,056 tons reduced. It's voluntary. It's considered very low, and it's we changed it from 0.05 to from 0.1 to 0.05, I guess is what we did. Good. 5J, incentives for infill and transit-oriented development. Identify and implement additional incentives to encourage mixed-use, higher-density, and infill development near transit routes in existing community centers, downtowns, and other designated areas. Incentives may include priority permitting, lower permit fees, density bonuses, or reduced parking requirements. We said no to, we're saying yes to the overall measure. We changed the number of targeted units from 175 to 75. That just seemed more realistic. Again, this is voluntary. You get 300 tons. It's considered low cost and 0.1 staff person. We currently have densities that range from 15 dwelling units per acre to 25. So we're already kind of doing this, and we just want to get the credit for it. Sound good? Okay. The next one is that service nodes that you just mentioned, and we said no to this. Service nodes, basically it's a states to work with private developers to encourage the development of convenient commercial and shopping opportunities near existing employment and or residential areas through incentives or the removal of existing regulatory barriers as a means of shortening the distance between origins and destinations and increasing the potential for walking or biking to obtain services. And we figured that we already have our commercial areas identified and zoned appropriately, and we have our mixed-use zones, and that we don't really need any additional incentives to do this. It doesn't tell us really what the expected tonnage to save would be. And I guess, you know, we tried to do this with the Pike and Elm project, and it didn't fly, so that kind of was our, yeah, that was our little beacon telling us. So unless if anybody has any comments or, no? Okay. So the next one is 5L, Transportation Demand Management Program for Municipal Employees. We said no, we don't really see this happening because the same situation as for businesses. The next one is 5M. This is the last one under transportation and land use. Zero and low emission municipal fleet vehicles. We said no. We will if we can, but we don't want to say that we will for sure.
So it says voluntary. I mean, I think that would be great if some of our city vehicles could be some type of low emission. I know Cal Poly has that on the campus, and it works very well. But I know it's a up cost, large upfront cost. So
the statistics, we would get 13 tons. It's considered a medium cost, and 0.05 staff person. If we did go with this, we would replace the 20 replaced vehicles. We change that to 10. It's just that certain vehicles and trucks you just can't do it to, you know, that just because of the function that they must perform.
Could you have a policy that takes that into account, just mm-hmm. so that it is a goal to do that where appropriate?
Yes. So we'll change that one to we'll keep it.
Would you guys, I mean, would that be okay to say that we will make it a goal to try to do that where feasible? I know that's mm-hmm. kind of namby-pamby, but...
So not every city vehicle, but maybe one or two at least that are just, you know, running errands or doing mm-hmm. deliveries, things like that.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay, as long as it's a goal. That right. The way the city has to operate is they take hand-me-down vehicles to do that. So mm-hmm. if you were just going out and buying new vehicles, you could do that, but that's mm-hmm. just not how
it'd be a lot more expensive, yeah.
But if you had a choice between a hand-me-down, you know, one kind or another, we would choose the other. At least it would say we want to pursue that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're asking all the residents to try to do those measures. I would think we would at least want to have it as a goal for ourselves.
Okay.
We're feasible,
right. Okay. So now we're moving on to what they're calling off-road. And there's two under this category. The first one, construction equipment techniques. Reduce greenhouse gas emissions from construction equipment by requiring various actions as appropriate to the construction project. This would be mandatory, 769 tons, considered very low, 0.05 staff person. We thought that we don't really know enough about this, whether it's feasible to require construction equipment to do this kind of thing. The next one is voluntary, so we figured we would not do the mandatory and go with the voluntary. Sound good? Okay. So the next. So the next one then is, there's only one underwater. And this is what Commissioner Keene was talking about, the exceeding the Water Conservation Act of 2009 water conservation target. So the city would adopt a water conservation target that exceeds SB X7-7, target and identify and implement additional water efficiency and conservation measures to meet that target by 2020. So this one, just for your knowledge, it would be a mandatory thing, 12 tons, it's considered low cost, cost 0.5 of a staff person, and as we previously stated, we're already been working on reducing water consumption through current programs, which we've done a pretty good job. So this is telling us that we would have to do over and above what we're already required to do. So we're
paddling as fast as we can already.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We're putting kind of max effort towards this already. Right?
Yeah. It would cost a lot of staff time to go above and beyond for only 12 tons. Sounds good. They all sound good, but, you know. Yeah. Now we're getting into solid waste. The first one, solid waste diversion rate. The city would adopt a specified solid waste diversion rate that exceeds the state mandated rate of 50% and identify programs to meet the identified rate by 2020. We said this one gets quite a lot of tonnage. It's 942, costs a 0.5 of a staff person, mandatory. We said no. Again, it's going above and beyond what the state already says that we have to do. So it would be quite the effort. It would be a big effort to do that. But thoughts, comments? Are you okay with saying no? All right. The next two, we also say no as well. The first one, or the next one being organic waste diversion program. The city would develop a combined separate organic waste collection system and encourage residents and businesses to divert these materials from landfills. And this is kind of a regional thing. If the landfill, through their operations, are establishing a program to collect food waste, it's really do the, you know, yard waste, but to make it into more of a full-on composting facility with food, then the city would then have the option to you know, have that as a service to our residents, but they currently don't do that, so I don't know how we as a city can say, hey, you landfill. So until it becomes a regional thing, we're saying no. Construction and demolition debris diversion. This would require that we exceed state requirements of the 50%. Right now, that's, you know, what AB 939 says we're supposed to do, so this would be above that. And again, we said no because it's a burden on staff and contractors. Yes, we already require that they do this, so it's going above. Recycling at public events, we do this already, but this is to make sure that this would be an ordinance. It would be mandatory. We don't get a lot of tonnage. It's only three, but you know, it's an easy thing to do, and it's a good thing to do. We changed the numbers from 200 to 500 visitors because, you know, public events, we have all of our, you know, Strawberry Festival, all that. So, and we changed it from 20 to 10 events. So we have really big events, but less of them. So, and then the last one under this section, municipal solid waste reduction. Adopt a specified solid waste diversion rate and identify steps to meet that rate by 2020. This would be mandatory. We said yes. You only get one ton. The cost is low. We changed the staffing from 0.1 to 0.05. Does that sound okay? The last two are relating to trees and open space. The first one, tree planting program, voluntary. Develop a program to facilitate volunteer tree planting within the community, working with local nonprofit organizations and community partners. Develop and adopt a tree planting guidelines that address tree and site selection. So we have the Tree Guild. We're very lucky to have them. So we're already doing it. So we said yes. We get 6 metric tons. It's a low cost and 0.08 staff. The last one is pretty much the same thing, but it's for municipal. So establish a tree planting program to increase the number of native drought-tolerant trees on city-owned property, parks, and streetscapes. This is mandatory. We do this to a certain extent. We can certainly improve, and we change the number of identified goal of 500 trees to 250 trees. We thought the 500 was overambitious. And then from 0.08 to 0.02 staff persons. Is that all right? Okay.
I'll speak for Kristen. Yes.
Yes, yeah. So our target, again, was 4,462 metric tons with all of the ones that we have included here that we have said yes to, including the modifications. We have 4,621, which gives us a buffer of 159 metric tons. So I think Shauna had mentioned in the previous study session that we're actually pretty lucky. The city of Aurora Grande, with the target that we have to reach, is much lower in comparison to other jurisdictions. So
why is that?
Just because of the way that they redid their inventories, ours got reduced. They originally, I guess, were counting the drive-throughs with the freeway. So that's that.
Would you like to see if someone from the audience would like to come speak? Any comments you have for us, sir?
Steve Ross, 211 Garden Street. I agree with most of everything that's been said here on 4D, the energy conservation ordinance. I would really think that we would not want to include that on a resale of get by with doing termite inspections in those that they are required to do already. That I think would cause a significant cost. It says it's low cost to the city, but it wouldn't be a low cost to the city's residents. The energy efficiency, I think we're doing well in the public realm, although you all noticed tonight on your way in, there were the city lights, Christmas lights, are still on. The city would be paying, or the whoever is paying the bill for those would be paying about a quarter of what they're paying now. That is significant when it comes to energy use, and it's a small thing, it's a simple thing. So that would be one place. Little incidental things like that can add up to pretty big savings when you're talking about, you know, 4 or 5 times savings over existing. I think we do a lot of things already with that, with the stoplights and things like that. I would encourage them to increase doing that. Hot water and solar electric production, we should encourage that in every way we can. I think that there might also be not a bad idea to have a caveat where solar situating of housing so that they can take advantage of passive solar building techniques could also potentially get some savings just as in new construction it would be, because they would be also creating a less of a carbon footprint for the people who own the house in the city. You know, I've been thinking about some other things that had to do with waste management, but I don't know that they're appropriate for here. There's some things that they do out at Coal Canyon where they collect methane gas and use it to power a generator that provides them their facility with electricity. I don't know if our waste plant might have a holding pond where we might encapsulate effervescent create a smaller footprint. As far as the transit use is going, SLOCOG is really stepping up in that regard. They are doing most of this already. They're trying to implement a greater savings in routes, more expedited routes where you might have one bus that will go through as a stop at every location and then some others that would stop at fewer locations on the same route so that they could expedite travel a little. And riders not being able to get on. Arroyo Grande will need to expand their transit influence because we have just become a a, what is it? I can't think of what it is right now, the term, but where the city has been designated a urban area. And because of that, we get a lot more credit towards certain things and money to the city, but we also have to improve the train. Operating the system is rejuvenated by the fare that is actually being charged. Now, right now, Rio Grande is between 14% and 18%, which is good, really good, better than most of the rest of the cities in the county or areas in the county. So we don't have much to do, but that's a place that we need to show a little bit of impetus as well. I know I'm on the Traffic Commission, and I know we hear a lot of different things about sidewalks and get complaints, and the city has a but the grant money only maybe covers half of the actual cost, and the city just didn't have the money to do it. And so they're potentially going to lose a grant. It'd be nice if we could maybe try not to get ourselves in that situation as we have, but also to try to find ways to come up with that money so that especially the sidewalks, and a lot of this has to do with safe route to school sidewalks, that kind of thing, can get built. It's a big concern. Job as they can afford to in mitigating most of those things. The energy efficiency for new municipal buildings, I think, is something that we need to do. There are several areas here where we're saying it's a low cost to the city. But to the end user, the construction company, the people buying or building, they're higher costs. So those costs are shared by so I think that the city would need to go ahead and kind of, you know, bite the bullet on that one and do that. There aren't a lot of city buildings going to be built in the near future, a couple, but and we're not going to be doing any big remodeling on any of the buildings except for the, maybe this one. So I think that we need to go ahead and put the same onus on the city as we do the private citizens and businesses that live in our area. Get people to ride transit. It also gets people to drive around a lot looking for a parking space. So how much you're going to save by trying to encourage people, I would say limiting parking spaces would be something lower down on the list for education and incentives to get people to ride alternative transportations other than limiting where they can park would be first on my list. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. So we wanted to bring it back us. We're working on. We definitely need to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions, and it seems like a good plan. I have to agree. I have the same thoughts about limiting parking. I think it has two problems. You have the circling around, which creates more greenhouse gas, and then you also have people stopping shopping in our city because parking's too difficult. I'll just go somewhere else, and we don't want to hurt our businesses that way. So, I agree. That's probably a low priority, and I do like to see the increased educational and lots of the incentives. So I think this looks like the beginnings of a good plan.
With what I was thinking. I do agree with the gentleman that just spoke about the for sale housing. That worries me a little bit. But other than that, it just seems like there's a lot of incentives coming through the city. So thanks.
John?
I was really impressed with the program that the toolbox that gave us a real insight on what's going on, and for you, Kelly, to go through and make any real problems with the items we've covered tonight. I think that as time goes on, that a lot of these things that I do have concerns about will be worked out in the final draft or final ordinances or whatever it's done. So other than that, I don't have a lot of comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly, for doing all the heavy lifting on this. Did you want to say something?
I did.
Oh, I'll just make a couple of comments. Wish there was some way to, maybe incentivize more than force people to do things. I think people need to understand that the cost, the energy cost of your home becomes a huge factor in its livability and its comfort, and it would be nice if that were disclosed somehow, like when you buy a refrigerator or a car, and it says the energy use. I wish realtors would maybe emphasize that more. So we will have to be careful on how we write that ordinance to not make it a big burden on people. But other than that, yes, I thought you did a great job. When I was looking through what you said yes and no to,
it's a lot to chew on, but it's common sense, a lot of it, when you just look at it, it looks like a lot, but when you dig into it, it's really not that bad. So I just wanted to verify that you're going to add one measure that we had not added, and that one was zero and low emission municipal fleet vehicles. That was number 5M. So that's going to add 13 metric tons. And that light, did you want to remove the
make sure it's not too much? I worry about trying to limit it as a means of saying, hey, there's not many parking spots, so therefore you can't drive. So I think it's how we use that. I liked what Jennifer was saying about making sure the parking is located in such a way that you, like in San Luis Obispo, you park somewhere and then you walk. If we interpret it that way, I think it's a good thing. I don't know what everyone else thinks.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting just on how you do look at it.
Mm-hmm. And this is something that'll come back to us before
it's most of what, there's a lot of it that we're doing already.
Yeah,
so
we want to get the credit for it, yeah.
Yeah,
so.
I don't have a problem with it being there.
Didn't we also add the energy efficient public buildings or something like that? Didn't we add that as well?
Oh, that was it was already one that we wanted to keep, and I just brought up the question of if we did want to still keep it. So, and so this was just one portion of what we would call our climate action plan. So, the consultants are working on this document for. Make for our jurisdiction. So the cap, just to let you know, it's going to have an introduction, our inventory overview, the regional climate action effort, community-wide reduction strategies, municipal reduction strategies, adaptation, implementation, and a compliance checklist, just so that you have a preliminary idea of what will be coming. Okay? All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kelly. Okay, we are moving on now to item 10, which is notice of administrative. On that, I'm assuming that's the deck in the front of the house?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And so I don't have a problem with that. Does anyone else have anything you want to say on that? All right. Moving on to commission communications. Does anyone on the Planning Commission have anything they want to comment on?
I attended the ERC meeting, and they just had three sign applications or permits or whatever. So it wasn't very interesting.
Nothing coming to us?
No.
All right, staff communications.
Reviewed at a couple meetings ago, did go back to the HRC for input on the on some of the language that you reviewed in draft form, but they did incorporate it, and so that was done. So they went through, you know, rock, stone, and brick, and things like that. So that was completed at their last meeting, and will be going to council February 12th.
This was my month. And even moved a couple of paragraphs up and down and things like that to, because they felt like there was one section that jumped the timeline and in a historic years and needed to be moved up above, things like that. So I think they're pretty well happy with it now.
Well, we're lucky they have such great attention to detail.
Yep.
All right, that brings us to adjournment. I will entertain the motion.